What's up, you guys? This is HJ here, and in today's YouTube video, I'm going to be presenting my college student's laptop guide for 2023, and these are going to include two of my individual choices, which I just so happen to own, so I felt like I'd go ahead and do them for college students who may not have a lot of money to buy something very high-end, or they just need something to get the job done. Now, if you're in high school, you guys may be able to apply this to you guys as well. And these are more than capable of doing the job that I need to get done, because most of my classes are online and don't require a lot of graphics intensive programs. Now, if you are looking for something graphically intensive and you need a laptop for that, there are plenty of videos out there, and I do have a couple on my channel that I will leave a link to in the description down below, so you guys can check those out for my creative students or students that need a little bit more beef to their PC. Now, on my left, I know this is a very weird name, but it's literally called the HP Laptop 15. That's just the name. They didn't really do anything snazzy like Envy or Pavilion. And then on the right, I have my totally covered up with stickers, Dell Inspiron 153511. These are two laptops that I have reviewed in the past. This is just my guide as to what you may need to go along with the device, as well as a little bit of an information about the device itself, and comparison, as well as a peripherals guide that you might need for class. So I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna try and open this up with one hand. Let's see if I can open this here. So this is the HP Laptop 15 powered on. Now, this thing has a 41 watt an hour battery. Being that it's an ultrabook and you don't really intend to use it as your primary gaming computer on the side, I would assume not, then this thing is probably going to last you. I mean, I was able to get about 3.5 to 4 hours out of it. You might have a little bit higher, a little bit less, depending on what you're doing, and keyword being depending on what you're doing, because that's something that's really up to the individual as to what they're going to be doing on that laptop. And my unit, it came originally, because I bought it from a friend, so it came originally with 8 gigs of RAM, and I upgraded to 16. Now, my stick is in single channel, and I'll talk about that later, but it usually comes with 8. Now, you can do a 16 gig configuration, and since this is an Intel model, you can go up to 32, and I wouldn't say you really need 64, but if you want to go up to 64, I don't see why that's not an option. Now, the only con that I see with this is the sun in the glare, and the glare, I should say, and the silver on silver. Now, there's two reasons why I don't agree with that. The first thing being because, well, this thing does not get very bright, the screen, in extreme daylight. Naturally, the glare overcomes it. Now, the other thing is the silver on silver. Because the laptop is silver, and the type of silver that this plastic is made out of, if you put it in direct sunlight, and God forbid, if you have anything less than my 20/20 vision, you'll feel it worse, this thing is going to really hurt your eyes. And I mean, because the sun is going to bounce off of this thing, and it's going to cause you not to physically be able to see your keyboard. I've had that issue before using it in direct sunlight. I've had to wear sunglasses because the glare coming off it was so bright. And another reason is if you're in a very bright room, or if it's like dark at night and this thing is not a backlit keyboard, depending on your eyesight condition, you may have trouble seeing the keys. And that's the other reason why I don't like that, because you can't really see the keys. If you can get past that, you don't have eye issues, or if you are not planning to use this in daylight, then other than that, should be pretty fine. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is the processor and the graphics on this, because the processor and graphics is enough to get through schoolwork. This is an i5. There's Iris Xe graphics. Of course, you do need dual channel or higher than 8 gigs in single or dual channel to get that on this particular computer. I believe it's called Iris Xe eligible, and I don't know why that's a thing on this particular laptop. It should be Iris Xe by default, but for whatever reason, that's what they said on their support website, so I take it they know what they're talking about because they obviously invented it. So, and the other thing is, well, the other thing is, I guess if you're really looking to do a lot of editing, which you probably shouldn't, but if you are looking to do some moderate editing and you don't need to be color accurate with it, then I guess this will get through just fine. But for whatever reason, if you plan to do anything color intensive, please visit one of my other videos down below, because those other two machines that I've reviewed, those are going to be more suitable for that task, because this is not going to get that done. Now, moving on to the Inspiron here, which is a little bit damaged. I've had this thing for over a year now. Actually, a lot longer than a year. So I'm going to try and open this thing up. I can't open these with one hand. I'm assuming that's because I'm holding the camera at the same time, but you might not be able to open it with one hand either way. So I power this one on. You can see it's damaged in the bottom right. This is just my unit. It doesn't come like this. Full disclaimer, I just broke it in my handling of it, and that's totally my fault, not Dell's. So forgive me for that. But the one thing I do like about this particular screen is if you get the right model, it's a touchscreen. The only problem with that is it's not a 2-in-1. If you want to convert it to a tablet, well, I mean, I hate to be Captain Obvious on a ship here, but you can't. So that's the reality of it all. You cannot turn this into a 2-in-1. You can still draw on it and stuff. You can still do a stylus and whatnot. You can still do some productivity on it, but to just turn it into a full-on tablet, I don't see why they did a touchscreen when you can't really convert it. That didn't make sense to me, especially given the nature of this laptop. But I guess when you're getting a budget option, that's what you get. And this one also has a 41 watt an hour battery. And actually, I'm going to pull up the Intel Center so you guys can see that. So this one actually does have a 41 watt an hour battery. It's the same amount of battery. Now, the big difference with these two 41 watt an hour batteries is that the one that I have on the left, actually, I'm going to show you something weird with it. Because whenever I have it charging, the maximum charge capacity for whatever reason on this laptop is variable for some reason. I don't know why it does that, but it does it. So right now, it's at 39,383 megawatt an hour. For whatever reason, if I unplug this battery and let it die, and then I recharged it, that full charge capacity would change for some reason. I don't know why. Like I said, I don't know why it does that, but it does it. And then on this particular laptop, which it's not letting me see it for some reason, on this particular laptop, the battery is a 41 watt an hour, but this one does not change based on usage compared in the Intel Center. So I don't know what's up with this one. I'm assuming that's HP that did that. But this one also has a My Dell application, so if you want to change your battery settings to like charge it faster or charge it slower or adapt to your power usage or your thermals, you can actually do that with this. As with this one, you cannot. And now the last point I'm going to make about this laptop is it's the same in terms of processor and in terms of graphics. It's the exact same. I think the biggest difference is going to be the internals, because the internals on this one actually has a slot for an extra SSD. And I'm going to tell you about that. So this one has a slot for a SATA or a HDD that you've taken out of its enclosure, because they have the same connector. Now, why is this important? Because, as you'll see from my file explorer, once I can get to it, whenever I put my drive in, it gave me a huge boost in the amount of storage that I have. So now, in addition to my operating system drive and my OS, I now have an expansion drive that I can put other files on that's like 2 terabytes worth of storage. And of course, when you put the drive in for the first time, you will have to initialize it using device management or disk management, but regardless, it's still an extra drive. This one does not have an extra drive. So when I replaced the drive with 1 terabyte, I found myself having to reinstall the operating system and do everything from scratch. That's not beneficial. And if you don't know how to clone your drive, well, you can clone it, but the problem is if you don't know how to clone it and you do it incorrectly, by the time you figure out all of that, it's better to just reinstall Windows at that point. And so I don't know why I wasn't able to clone it, so I just went ahead and reinstalled Windows. That's a little bit of an inconvenience to me. This one is more convenient, this one is not. So anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this short review video. Let me know how I did, trying to get better at them. If you guys liked it, please do like it. If you guys really liked it, consider subscribing. Helps out a lot. And I'm HJ, and I'll catch you guys in the next video.